some of the most iconic pairings in the world. Number one, peanut butter and jelly, right? That's a classic. You can't beat that. Another one is bacon and eggs. Any bacon and eggs fans? That's a good one too, right? Yeah, I got y'all. This one's a personal favorite of mine. It's chicken and waffles, right? Chicken and waffles is fire. There's a, used to be a spot in Oakland that was good. Not there anymore. For my Filipinos, any Filipinos in the house? All right. You might deny this, but this is a reality. I grew up in Daly City. Pizza and ranch, okay? This is a iconic Filipino duo. Would you guys agree? Spaghetti and baguette. Yeah, that's a good one, too. Star Wars fans? Han Solo and Chewbacca? Let's go! Amazing. Lord of the Rings fans? Legolas and Gimli? Yeah? And, you know, this last weekend, I went to go see Dune 2. Dune 2 and Dolby Atmos? Have to do it together, y'all. Life-changing experience. But my personal favorite, one of my favorite pairings or duos or combinations of all time, is Korean fried chicken and beer. Right? When you get those two things together, heaven and earth meet. Something happens in the atmosphere of your stomach. Something happens in that place when you eat Korean fried chicken and beer. There are just some things that belong together. And when they come together, something truly magical happens. Where am I going with this? All throughout Scripture, we see two things that consistently go together to move the heart of God: fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer is like the PB and J of spiritual disciplines. When you put them together, something happens. You can pray without fasting, and you can fast without praying, but something special happens when the two of those things come together, and it just seems to amplify the power of prayer. Now, prayer, simply put, for the purposes of this teaching, we're going to define it as the medium through which we communicate and commune with God. It's the way we talk to God, the way we listen to him, and it's the way that we connect with him. And so in this context, we can think of prayer in two different ways. Number one, listening to God. And number two, speaking to God. Fasting is a practice that both amplifies God's voice to us and our voice to God. Put another way, fasting helps us hear God and be heard by God. I want us to open up to Acts 13, 1 through 3, as we explore the early church. It says, now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Notice that it's while they were fasting that they heard the voice of God clearly, that they were able to hear God's directional instructions. You know, last week we talked a little bit about how good fasting can be for our physical health. But how many of you know that fasting isn't just good for our physical health, it's also really good for our mental health? Research has found that fasting increases the blood flow to your brain, causing you to be more alert and aware. On the other hand, what's the opposite of that? Food coma. How many of you get food coma after eating something heavy? Why? Because eating causes blood to flow to your digestive system, which is why we get tired and a little bit cloudy of mind after a large meal. Fasting also increases neuroplasticity, which means your brain's ability to make new neural connections. It's also been proven to decrease neurotransmitters that signal anxiety and depression and increase those neurotransmitters that elevate calm and a sense of well-being. Fasting has also been proven to increase what doctors call interoception, which is your ability to accurately notice what's happening inside your body and your mind. It's even been shown in some studies to slow down or reverse the effects of Alzheimer's. With all of these mental benefits, it's no surprise why so many people outside of the church fast. It's no surprise that you're more likely to hear about fasting from a fitness influencer or Fortune 500 entrepreneur than the average follower of Jesus, because fasting has been proven to help our minds be more alert and focused. Now, some of y'all that have been fasting with us, you know, throughout the last few weeks, you're like, nah, that doesn't happen. Like, I'm not clear of mind. I'm not alert. This doesn't just happen overnight. Studies have shown that if you continue to fast consistently, then you get to experience these benefits. But if you're new to fasting, at first you may feel the opposite. You may feel hangry. Come on, I felt some conviction sweep across the room. You might feel unfocused or tired or foggy of mind. You may even get a headache. But if you stick with the practice and do it consistently, our minds and our bodies begin to adapt. And when we fast, we start to feel more calm, but also more highly alert and focused. Now, with all these benefits to our physical and mental being, it's important to consider that fasting, first and foremost for the follower of Jesus, has spiritual implications on the mind. Right? Fasting puts our bodies and our mind in an ideal state to hear God's voice. In the same way our minds become more alert and focused on our surroundings when we fast, our minds become all the more alert and focused on God too. We're able to hear him more clearly. The noise of our lives die down as the volume of his voice is magnified. Not to mention that when we fast, we just have a lot more time on our hands. I don't know if you found yourself fasting on Wednesdays with us. You're like, I don't know what to do with all this time. Like, what do I do? We don't realize how much time and energy and mental attention goes to food, to grocery shopping, to finding the right restaurant on DoorDash. One time I spent my entire lunch hour trying to decide what to order from DoorDash, not to mention cooking and eating and cleaning up and washing dishes. So much time and energy is freed up. When we fast, we get a lot of time back. And that time that we get back actually becomes an opportunity to make space to listen for the voice of God. Priscilla Shire, she once said, I'm able to gain perspective on how unbalanced is the amount of time, energy, and effort I put into my body and into my spirit. When we choose to sacrifice a need of the body to place more importance on a need of the spirit, God himself sits up and takes notice. The heavens are opened to us in a way that might not have been otherwise been. In other words, when we fast, the heavens are opened up to us in a unique way. I can speak from personal experience that some of the clearest times I've heard God's voice has been while I was fasting. Because, you know, half of y'all are newer and half of y'all are older. A lot of you have heard this story, but on my 21st birthday, to be like a super holy Christian, I decided I'm going to fast and I'm going to go up to the mountains in Santa Cruz to a retreat site by myself. Right? It sounds like the setup for a horror movie. And it actually was. When I got there and it started getting dark, there's this one black cat that the owner swears does not exist. But throughout the ages, people have seen this black cat. I saw this black cat literally just walk outside. I'm in this like tiny room that's the size of this carpet by myself, no air conditioning, no Wi-Fi, no reception. And I decided that birthday to fast and to pray. And my one goal was this. I went up to the mountains to hear God's voice. And the prompt I gave to God, or the question I asked him, is, God, can you give me a birthday gift? Like, surprise me with a gift. And so I went up there. On my birthday, by the way, my friend surprised me in the morning with a cake that they knew I couldn't eat and ate it in front of me. And then I had to drive to Santa Cruz. Good friends. But I went up to the mountains. I started praying and I'm listening like, God, can I have a birthday gift? Can you give me something? I want to hear your voice. And the days going by, I'm not hearing anything except my stomach. And I'm just like, God, where are you? And so it's getting late, right? It's like 9 p.m. And because there's no Wi-Fi, like, I'm ready to sleep by then because it's completely dark outside, no lights, demonic black cat walking around stalking me. I'm like, God, where are you? And then we get to midnight and I'm asking God, I'm praying, I'm reading the word. I'm like, can you speak to me? Where's my gift? And then it's like 11 and then 11:30, 11:45. I'm like, God, you got 15 minutes. Like, I'm fasting. I came up here for you. Amplify, come on. And then midnight hit, and then it wasn't my birthday anymore. It was the 25th, an unholy day. And just kidding. And I was disappointed, and I was like, I'm going to sleep. But as I closed my eyes, it was crazy because God gave me a distinct picture, and I almost heard his voice. And the picture he gave me was a picture of me as a little boy, And I don't know if you've been to the Korean supermarket in the freezer section, but there's this Korean ice cream that's shaped like a fish. And it has red bean in it and vanilla ice cream, super delicious. And he showed me that picture and said, "Mickey, you feel like all you have to give to this world is this tiny, small ice cream fish. But when you put it on my in my hands, watch what I do with it." And I saw a vision of him multiplying the fish. And that night, I felt very clearly that I heard God call me into full-time ministry as a 21-year-old boy. And that was the start of my journey. And the next morning I woke up and I thought I was delusional. That night I actually had another encounter. I went to this revival hosted by Jesus Culture, but I didn't read the fine print because when I got there, worship was a screamo worship band. And they're like, "Look to the north, holy, look to," and I was like, "What is this? This is not Jesus Culture. Where's Chris Kalele and like Kim Walker Smith? Where are they?" And I read the fine print, and it's like the founder of Jesus Culture, Banning Leibscher, right? Just the guest speaker. I was disappointed. I was like, "Okay, cool, Banning, you're cool, but like I wanted Jesus Culture." And so I'm sitting through it. I'm like a little disappointed. I was like, "I didn't really hear God last night. I'm going to be a school teacher, second grade elementary school teacher. That's my destiny. Like, I'm going to stay on course." And it was crazy because Banning, he had this moment before he preached where he gave this altar call. He's like, "If any of you in here feel like God is calling you into ministry, but you're feeling hesitant or doubtful about it, I want you to come forth." I'm like, "Oh, shoot, God, you're speaking." And so, like, he prayed for me, and then I sat down. I was like, "Yeah, confirmation." And the crazy thing was he opened up the Bible. He's like, "I want us to go to a text." And he took us right to the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with the boy giving the two fish and the five loaves of bread. And it was just confirmation. I heard the voice of God so clearly in that time of fasting and prayer. And so fasting is a time where God's voice is amplified to us, where we're able to hear his voice so clearly. But not only does fasting put us in an ideal position to listen, but it also puts God in an ideal position to speak. One of my mentors told me the key to unlocking great conversations, Mickey, is expressed curiosity. When someone senses your curiosity, your eagerness to listen, they're more compelled to speak and to share with you. And in the same way, when God senses our hunger to hear his voice, our desperation to hear his words, he's all the more excited to speak to us. All throughout scripture and church history, there's stories of people fasting to hear God's voice of direction, or what New Testament scholars call discernment. Right, when we're facing a major life decision, and especially in situations where we just don't know what the hell to do, we can fast and listen for the voice of God. This is why the psalmist in Psalm 143:8 says, "Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life." Fasting moves us from the logical, rational decision-making to godly discernment. From what's good and wise for my life, to what's God's will for my life. From control to surrender. How many of you know that sometimes the logical decision and God's will aren't the same thing? In 1 Corinthians 3:19, Paul says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight." Sometimes the will of God will look like foolishness to the world. When we started 99, all my friends who were planning churches said, "You need three things. You need a core team of 30 to 50 people. You need articulated vision statement, values, and mission statement. And number three, you need to find a church sponsor to help pay for your first few years so you make it and you won't go under." And honestly, we didn't have any of those things when we started. We didn't even have a church name. But there was something, Krista and I and the leadership, we sensed God telling us to move forward without a church name, without a website, without a gram, without a vision statement, mission, or values, without any idea what the hell we were doing. We just felt so sure God was saying, "Move forward." And we're glad we did. It looked like foolishness to the world, but we really felt in alignment with God's will. Sometimes the will of God will look like foolishness to the world, and fasting helps us discern what is God's voice and what is just our voice rationalizing things in our own mind. But fasting doesn't just help us hear God. It also helps us be heard by God. Now, what I'm not saying is that God only hears our prayers when we fast or perform religious duties. Like the more suffering that we endure, the more that God's going to respond, or the more hungry we get and the smaller our stomachs get, the more that God is likely to move. No, God hears our prayers whether we're fasting or not. But there's something to be said about when fasting is partnered together with prayer, there seems to be an amplification of our prayers before God and causing him to move, right? This is one of the primary reasons why we fast. In Isaiah 58:4, the prophet says, "For your voice to be heard on high." Isaiah 58:4, the New English Translation says, "Or to make your voice heard in heaven." When we fast, we're saying, "God, I want to make my voice heard in heaven." Have you ever felt stuck in prayer? Like there's a wall between you and God's power. There's a barrier between you and God's breakthrough. Tony Evans, he once said, fasting helps us to activate God's power. In other words, there is this correlation between fasting and the release of God's power to break through all that stands between us and God's plans and purposes and power for our lives. Fasting, for some reason, seems to activate breakthrough. There was a couple that was walking with us a number of years back, and they had shared with us, "We had been trying to have children for 8 years, and year after year, we're met with disappointment after disappointment." And I remember during that Lenten season, they said, "One of the things we're praying for as we fast is for fruitfulness in our womb." And you know what's crazy? During that fasting season, we came into agreement with them. I don't know if it was because of the fasting or prayer. I don't know. God moves in mysterious ways. But they got pregnant during that season as we were fasting after 8 years of trying to no avail. Kevin Libertino isn't here, right? You know, I know our catchphrase for Kevin these days is, "God, find Kevin a wife," okay? But back in the day, it was "find Kevin a job." And every time we would enter into the Lenten season, like Kevin would come to us and is like, "I'm fasting for breakthrough and open doors for my job situation." And every Lenten season, like God would move like crazy. Like during that time leading up to Easter, there would be like breakthrough in that area where Kevin is looking for occupation. I know many of us are experiencing that right now at this moment, right? There seems to be a correlation between fasting and God's release of power. But we have to be careful here. Fasting isn't like this hunger strike to pressure God to give into our demands. We're not trying to manipulate the hand of God. It's not this formula that guarantees results or success. We're not trying to convince God to move. Remember, we're sons and daughters. He loves us infinitely more than we could ever possibly understand. It's his desire and his pleasure to move in our lives. But there's something in the seeking and the finding that seems to light up God's heart. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will find me when you seek me with all your heart." There's something about the seeking, of the posturing and fasting, that seems to make God's heart light up. And scripture shows us again and again that when we fast and pray together, there's a higher correlation between our prayers and the release of God's power. But here's the thing. It doesn't tell us why. Like, why is there this correlation between fasting and prayer and the release of God's prayer? And it doesn't really say in Scripture, at least not clearly. Like, different streams of the church have different opinions or theories as to why. But it's not some magic formula. Like, sometimes we fast and God answers. And sometimes we fast and God doesn't answer. At my last church, I was a super eager beaver in my 20s, super zealous Christian. And our pastor had been saying, it's our heart to own a building for our church. And so me and my buddy Lorenzo and my pals Jacqueline and Sherry, we got together. We're like, we're going to fast meet for this whole year so that we can see breakthrough in this area. And so we fasted. I found out later, Lorenzo told me, I actually fasted more for physical and personal reasons. But anyway, we all did it together, and we fasted meat for a year. And I learned that year I actually don't really need meat. There's a lot of alternatives here in San Francisco that are amazing. But we fasted a year with no meat. And we're like, God's going to give us this building. My pastor was so encouraged. He was like in tears. And then the year went by, and there was no building. And the years went by and there was no building. And we were asking ourselves, like, why didn't God answer? Like, we didn't just fast meat a week or like a month. We fasted a year. Like, surely that would move the heart of God. But for some reason, he didn't respond in the way that we expected. But I tell you something. We felt close to God that year. Even though we didn't get the answer to the prayers that we were looking for, there was this intimacy that was forged that I could never trade for anything in the world. And crazy enough, 10 years later, they actually did get a building. And I told them, you have to put statues of us in your building because we fasted for this, okay? Anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is maybe the answered prayer or the breakthrough or the release of power isn't the point. Maybe God's ultimate aim is to bring us into closer relationship with him and not just to give us stuff. Remember, fasting isn't so much about getting something as it is about getting someone. Fasting isn't so much about getting something from God as it is getting more of God himself. And so fasting and prayer takes us deeper into union with God. But regardless of why, we see that more times than not, God seems to respond to prayer and fasting. In Jonah 3, the city of Nineveh is warned by the prophet Jonah of coming destruction and judgment by God. In Jonah 3, 5 through 10, the Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. What's interesting in this passage is that phrase, turned from their evil ways and relented, are actually the exact same word in Hebrew, niham, which means to repent or relent or change your mind. The text literally says, when God saw they nihamed, he nihamed. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, Josh. He's an expert at this. But what does it mean for God to niham? A word that's also translated as repent. Arthur Wallace, he says, because man repents in respect to sin, God repents in respect to judgment. Man's change of heart makes it morally possible for God to behave differently towards him, yet acting consistently with his holy character and principles. In other words, we often assume that God is just going to do whatever God wants, that we actually have no say, no sway, no influence in how God moves and how he responds and how he speaks and how he works in our lives. But here in this passage, it's interesting because it says God nihamed. We see consistently throughout scripture that when God's people pray, and especially when God's people fast, he responds. And that when God's people pray and fast, history has been changed. And so when it comes to hearing and being heard by God, fasting is an amplifier to prayer. But remember, the end goal of prayer and fasting is not ultimately to get what we want from God, but to get more of God himself. It's a union to enter into intimate relationship with him. But when you need to hear God's voice and when you need to be heard by God, we can practice fasting. I sense that many of us are in seasons where we need discernment, where we need to hear the voice of God, where our logic and ration is not enough to help us make a decision on what comes next or what to do. And many of us need to hear God's voice of direction in our lives. Fast. For some of us, we've been praying for something for years. You know, that's why I love Soph's prayer today, that some of us, we've dreamed for things and prayed for things. We used to be so gung-ho about it and believing that God would move, but along the way, we became disillusioned with disappointment that God isn't actually going to respond to these dreams or these things in my heart. And so we put it away. Fast. Maybe there is breakthrough that is to be had when we fast and we pray together, amplifying God's voice to us and our voice to God. And so our action plan, as we've been doing our community fast throughout Lent, we're fasting together as a church community every Wednesday from the moment you wake until sundown. As I mentioned before, if you waken up past 12, you got to fast longer than sundown, okay? But we're fasting together on Wednesday from the moment we open our eyes until sundown. And I've been hearing incredible testimonies of people. For me personally, it's been such a life transformative 2 weeks of fasting. I was telling my community group, I actually have not fasted food in like like 6 or 7 years. And the excuse that I made was like, you know, what if I'm fasting and I'm holding my baby and I get lightheaded and I fall? And it's like, is that really going to happen? And I realized I was making these excuses for myself. But ironically, I did get really lightheaded when I took Zion to soccer on Wednesday. But that's beside the point. I realized personally, I was making these excuses. And as I've been fasting these Wednesdays, like something's been awakened in me. And it's been such a powerful experience. And so I encourage you, if you haven't joined, it's not too late. But what we're doing is each week, every Wednesday, we're fasting with a unique focus and expression. So the first 2 weeks, we fasted food. But this week, we will be fasting noise, or in other words, social media, news, and entertainment. Oh, I know that's hard for some of y'all. Some of y'all wake up and the first thing you check is your email or the news or TikTok or Instagram, right? So we're taking time to fast social media, news, and entertainment just for that day. If you want to take it a step further, and if you're able, you can fast technology altogether, whether it's your phone or your laptop. I know many of you actually need your phone and your email for work. So that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is limiting our intake of social media, of news and entertainment, okay? And so our goal in fasting these things is to quiet the noise in our lives. How many of you know so much noise comes from these tiny little devices that we look at every single day? God is always speaking, but we're often unable to hear him because our lives are too noisy. And so social media, the news and entertainment all contribute toward this noise that often dulls the sound of God's voice in our lives. And so as we fast this week, listen for the voice of God. You can ask questions like, God, who do you say that I am? What do you love about me? Is there something you want to say about a certain situation or circumstance? What's your heart for this particular decision I have to make? Just create space where you can hear the voice of God as we lower the volume of the noise in our lives. But in addition to listening, let's create space to speak. Pray bold prayers of faith, believing that God is going to hear you and respond. Dare to make outrageous prayers. You know, some of us, I realize the older I'm getting like more and more domesticated. Where like my boldest prayers are like, God, give me a parking spot when I'm looking for parking tomorrow. Like, and I remember when I was a kid, I was like praying, God, would you bring revival to the nations? Like, I want everyone to know you. But the older I get, like, I feel like my prayers are getting softer and weaker and less risky and outrageous. But there's something to be said about being like a kid again. And just like Soph prayed, praying outrageous prayers, whether they're dreams in your heart or something that you long to see realized in your life or in your city or in your context. And so pray. In addition to listening, speak. And ask God, would you exceed beyond my wildest imagination? And once again, I just want to caveat with this. As you fast, resist the urge to judge your experience. Release thoughts like, I liked it or disliked it. I felt close to God. I didn't feel close to God. You know, for me, the last 2 Wednesdays, just this simple shift in posture changed everything for me. I took the pressure off of myself to get something from this experience and just let the experience be what it is and speak for itself. At the very least, it's my offering and my sacrifice and my worship to God through my body. But at best, maybe God will move. Maybe he'll do something. Maybe he'll move or speak in a way that I have been needing or longing for. And so fast with us this Wednesday. I know some of y'all, it's been hard, and then you wake up, and then you took a bite, and you forget. Well, good news. You can eat this week, but do not look at social media, news, or entertainment, and let's make space for the voice of God. I want to end this with this quote by Charles Spurgeon. Our seasons of fasting and prayer at the tabernacle have been high days indeed. Never has heaven's gate stood wider. Never have our hearts been nearer the central glory. That's my prayer for us this season. Why don't we pray as we respond to the move of God? Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're here. We thank you that you're moving. We thank you, Lord, that your heart is to be with us. Your heart is union. Your heart is that we would be so connected, that we would be so together, that we would be so in one and aligned, that we would be so in sync with what you're saying and what you're doing. And I pray that in this season that would be the case for all of us, that as we fast, that we would all the more be able to hear your voice clearly, that we would be all the more able to discern your will and your direction for our lives. Some of us need answers in this season. Some of us need direction. Some of us need the next step to take. Some of us need discernment for our relationships and for our careers. Some of us need discernment for our family lives. Some of us need the voice of God. And we believe that one word can change everything. And so, God, would you speak to your people this week as we make space to listen for your voice? Would your voice be amplified as we lower the volume of the noise in our lives? But also, God, I pray for a wave of bold, outrageous faith, daring to pray bold and outlandish and outrageous and ridiculous prayers, believing that you are capable of moving. And I pray that we would, in return, have testimonies to share of your goodness, of your breakthroughs, of your miracles. Let these days be the high days indeed, where the veil between heaven and earth grows increasingly thin, and we see the hand of God move in our very life. Some of us are desperate for it. Some of us need you to move. Some of us need your hand to move in our lives. And so as we fast this week, I pray that we would pray with that faith, with that boldness. So Holy Spirit, would you speak to us? Would you give us divine revelation and strategy? Help us step into what you've called us to step into in this season. And let fasting be the amplifier of your voice and our voice to you.